I mean, you're the soccer man.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all soccer people.
This is Roots Pod.
Okay, Prentice directly in behind. It's Prentice on the header. Oh, what a start for the Roots.
What a goal.
His fourth of the season, and they lead 1-0 inside of 4 minutes.
All right, a busy week of football began. Oakland Roots 1, FC Tulsa 1. Continued Oakland Roots 4, Las Vegas Lights 2, and finished Monterey Bay 1, Oakland Roots 1. Welcome into Roots Pod. There is a lot to talk about. Although, as I think we'll get to, I think the number of storylines coming out of these matches is actually pretty narrow, given the amount of football that was played. We have the regulars here, as per usual, John and Peter, and we are happy to be joined this week by Luis de Guzman, who joined the blog, has started to write every week before the match, three questions going into the match, and then one thing he loves, one thing he hates, and one thing he's unsure about after the match. And Luis, I just want to say, your first month writing for the blog was our best month in terms of views ever. And I got to think that you had quite a bit to do with that. So thank you, and welcome on to the pod for what will hopefully be a very interesting discussion of some developing Oakland Roots 2026 themes.
Well, I appreciate the welcome in. You know, I'm happy that the site got the most hits it ever got, and I hope it's a quality thing and not a quantity thing, because I've just been pounding out these articles the last week.
You know what? We actually don't.
Man, we'll take quantity.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Same to us.
All right, let's talk about the football. So let's go back, lay the groundwork. It's been a long time since some of these matches happened, and if you're like me, you might have forgotten a lot of it. Oakland Roots 1, FC Tulsa 1 began in incredible fashion with a Michael Edwards long ball over the top that was headed home by Wolfgang Prentice. Just incredible. I mean, there have been better individual goals. There was obviously a very nice team goal earlier in the season, but That was just, I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite like that out of the Oakland Roots. That was really incredible. And that was about the high point of the match. I think seven minutes later, Julian Bravo goes down. He has to be replaced by Neville Hackshaw. It's 13 minutes into the match, and you're already making your first substitution. Not a great start. And then about 20 minutes later, David Garcia pretty clearly was hobbling on the pitch. He tried to get it out, was unable to ultimately, and was pulled for Faisal Bitash. Just continuing an issue for the back line, and it would get worse 5 minutes into first half stoppage time when I honestly forget who, doesn't really matter, from FC Tulsa gets in behind the Roots back line, and to sort of make up for misreading the situation, not anticipating things, I'm not really sure what, Neville Hackshaw, he did clear the ball, but he did so on this breakaway by leaving his feet and going right through the back of the Tulsa attacker's legs. So he gets sent off for, I'm assuming, dog so. And now the Roots are down three defenders and obviously also a man, as Tulsa would spend the second half on the power play, essentially. The post-game stats more or less reflected it, but I think it was honestly a very good It was a great performance, very gutsy performance from the Oakland Roots. They did ultimately surrender the equalizer in the 70th minute. But I tell you what, I thought that if you were one of the people who thought he needed redemption, I think Raphael Spiegel probably went ahead and redeemed himself in this match with how well he played. It was a team performance, obviously, to hold Tulsa to one goal while down a man, but Raphael Spiegel probably deserves special mention for some of the work he did in goal. Fast forward to last Wednesday, Oakland Roots host Las Vegas Lights. And I think we mentioned this on our last podcast a couple of weeks ago. Thank God for the very forgiving schedule, you know, and we were saying that at the time because we're like, the back line is getting a little thin and it had obviously gotten a lot thinner. And so the Lights, one of the worst teams in the Western Conference, great team to face at this point, we thought, and fortunately we didn't jinx anything. In fact, this hopefully served as Peter Wilson's coming out party. I think a lot of people had noticed that his production was more similar to the first half of last season than it was to the second half of last season. But he went ahead and bagged a hat trick against Las Vegas Lights, which was sufficient to win. But Faisal Battash also contributed in the 22nd minute. 4-2, Johnny Rodriguez did get a goal in his return to Oakland. It's a nice moment, I suppose. But that was great. So the Roots are now 3-3-1 in the league. They would have a USL Cup match at the weekend, last weekend, against Monterey Bay. If you care about the Roots in the USL Cup, this was not great. Not a great performance. Oakland came out on the front foot. They got their goal early, Hackshaw to Jackson Keel. And then for some reason, I took the foot off the gas or something. I don't know if you look at John, your write-up reflected this. You look at the stats from the match. The Roots got dominated for the last two-thirds of that match. Very bizarre. Monterey Bay was only able to get the one equalizer, but in the Cup, you go straight to penalties, and the Roots lost on penalties. And I don't know, that might they're going to have to probably win out if they want to advance in the USL Cup. So if you care about the USL Cup, that is incredibly frustrating. The nice thing is, you know, you were going to have to get a result against Sacramento anyway. So maybe things aren't worse than they were, although I think now you need a win against Sacramento rather than a draw. If you don't care about the Cup, who cares? You know, it doesn't really mean anything, except that we did get to see the return of both good and bad Hackshaw in that match. That is one of the themes that emerged in this past week. Overall, you know, I think the themes are as they, in a lot of ways, as they were last time we recorded. In fact, if you read Louise's articles before and after the Tulsa and Las Vegas matches, they're very similar. Where do the goals come from? When is Peter Wilson going to start scoring? And then we love that Peter Wilson started scoring. And something about the injury situation on the back line constantly, you know, that is going to continue to be one of the themes for the Oakland Roots this season. And then there was a bit of Hackshaw thrown in there, you know. Those are the talking points coming out of this week, I think.
Bit of Hackshaw getting thrown in there is... That might be the title of the podcast.
So, you know, I think honestly, at the end of the day, this has been a good week because they had 4 points in two league matches. They're still not where you want them to be, I think, in terms of the league standings, but the football is still really nice to watch, and it looks like the kind of thing that's going to be successful once everyone comes back. And I think we do have news that David Garcia's injury is not season-ending. So, I mean, that's pretty open-ended.
Not season-ending, but it is bad.
It is bad.
We're looking probably at July.
Yeah. So, you know, that's rough. But as long as we have him for the playoffs, and which means don't get a second injury, bud, please, then you're okay. So that was a lot. I feel like that there was a lot of football to recap. That's significantly longer than the recap.
Yeah. Take a drink of water.
let's start with the positive. Let's start with Peter Wilson. And Luis, I'm going to throw it to you because I know you have been, your articles were expressing quite a bit of frustration with his performance and then a lot of relief. And so I don't know why. Let's start with you. What did you like about his performance? Did you think this was coming? You know, have you been encouraged by what he's seen even without the production, or did it seem to you like we were actually doing something different out there against Las Vegas?
I don't really think we did anything different coming against Las Vegas. I think the through line throughout the beginning of the season was Peter Wilson was in the right spots. He was getting into the right places. He just wasn't finishing it up. And in the preview to the Las Vegas Lights match, I wrote about how maybe Peter Wilson is just a streaky scorer. You know, which one's the real Peter Wilson? Was it the Peter Wilson who took 2 months to score last year and took almost 2 months to score this year? Or is it the guy who just went on this scoring rampage at the end of last season? And the truth is, it's probably going to be in the middle. And I felt he just needed one to kind of break open the floodgates. And he finally got that it took a little bit of luck because that first goal bounced off the keeper and it bounced right into Peter Wilson's legs. And then the second assist, Wolfgang Prentice put it right on his foot to put it in. But hey, you just got to get one to get going, and that's what Peter Wilson did. And hopefully, I think this is just the start of him getting going again. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think that's right. I think that part of what got – it's like when things are going well, it feels like everything's going well, right? And so when Wilson was scoring a whole lot, it felt like a lot of the offense was clicking. But this team is full of guys who are great passers. You know, I mean, like Prentice is putting those deliveries in exactly perfectly. But like Velo and Trejo, they all like create these opportunities. And I think that it's like as soon as Wilson starts scoring, these guys are going to start taking these opportunities. They're going to start taking the risks and putting those quick balls in and see if he can get those little touches that just like flummox opposing keepers. And he did it twice against Vegas. And I think that's optimistic because that's what we want is these guys taking this risk because he'll, you know, it's funny. He still misses some really easy chances, but like he hits enough of them. And if we keep creating them, it's going to turn into a bunch of goals like it did against Vegas, who are not a great defense, but like you got to start against the bad defense, right?
Yeah. And I believe, you know, he had a big chance or at least two big chances missed in the previous four games. So it's kind of a testament to the other attacking players, like you said, like Wolfgang and like Patash and Florian Valo, that they're still feeding him the ball. You know, they kept that confidence in him and Wilson kept that confidence up. I know John had said when Wilson missed that first shot about 3 minutes into the game against Vegas, he saw the body language just drop and the energy just sap out of his body. Or what'd you think, John?
Yeah, I was about to say that, you know, this miss, like 3-4 minutes into the game, it was near identical to his miss against Tulsa, where it was he was fed into the box. He's one-on-one with the keeper and he misses it wide right. I have two pictures of both of those goals with the opposing goalkeeper in it, and it's almost the exact same. And you know, he missed that shot and you just see his body language just drop. And you know, I was worried. And the next goal, his first goal, I mean, just an absolute great pass from Wolfgang. I mean, Wolfgang creates both of these goals. And, you know, it kind of fortunately bounces into Wilson and then into the goal. And Peter, he didn't even celebrate that first goal. He just, it was more of, I think, Wolfgang's goal than his. But you know, like you said, Luis, he just needs one to get going. And then that second goal, I mean, really was a nice touch, a nice finish to redirect it into the net. It's a very similar kind of goal that he scored in the preseason game that I was like, all right, you know, this is what we need. If he can keep on this going into the season, then great. And, you know, that didn't happen. But when he finished that ball, I was like, all right, you know, this is what we need. He needs that confidence. And you can see the life just go back into him and he celebrates it and he looks like Peter Wilson from last year. And you know, finishes the PK, very nice PK, a lot better than the one in Monterey. But that being said, in the press conference, he talked about just the support that he had in the locker room. And it felt like that hat trick was everybody's hat trick, you know, in a way. He comes into the press conference. He's got a supporters group scarf over and he has the game ball with all of the players' autographs on it. So that really shows you just how his performance was so important to the rest of the team and how, yeah, it wasn't just Wilson's hat trick. It was the whole team's hat trick. So it was nice to witness team history. First hat trick since Jack McInerney in 2019 in Nisa in the club's inaugural game. I was there. I didn't think it would take this long for another hat trick, but here we are. He got it.
Well, you didn't predict COVID either. So, you know. Your foresight's maybe a little lacking.
Yeah. You know, I do wonder, and this is a different topic. I'm sorry, Aaron. I do wonder what this club looks like without COVID. I do wonder what attendance looks like without COVID. But that's a subject for another day, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like an off season podcast right there. We don't need to think about that right now. But I think it's interesting you guys mentioned Wolfgang and his contributions to the buildup, because how we deploy Wolfgang is now, I think, in a bit of flux. He has been excellent on the wing so far this year, but he's also capable of playing along the back line, and we're sort of missing people back there. And he took a turn back there, yes, against Las Vegas. I guess it's a good thing we have Jackson has come around, Velo is back, although he did limp off against Monterey Bay, so that's great. That's great. We're having a great time this season. But there are a lot of guys who can play in that winger sort of advanced midfield role. But I think I still want to pose the question, do we think it is going to be an issue if Wolfgang has to play further back, if he has to be deployed along the back line, just because we're going to be short on numbers for a while?
I think we see what the other guys can do. Prentice has 4 goals and 3 assists, which is tied for the league points lead. And I would bet everything that the Roots have not had a player tied for the points lead at this point in the season ever. But if we didn't have any attackers that we thought we could do it, then I might feel like we can't risk taking Prentice out of the front line. But Jackson's looked great. And with him and Wilson up there, I feel like we can put Batash or Velo in that other attacking role, in the two other attacking roles, you know, one in the 10 and one in the left wing, and see if we can create something. And hopefully, I mean, the unfortunate thing is then Wolfgang's going to be exhausted and we can't just use him as a sub. But I think that it doesn't give me heartburn the way it might to think about putting Prentice in the back line.
I think so much of this depends on how Coach Martin decides to do with Hackshaw and how we approach the Hackshaw issue. But initial gut feeling, I would not want them to move Wolfgang out of the attack. I think we could run up some of the other players. Keegan Tingey's back. Gibson came back against Monterey Bay. I know John reported that Bravo should be coming back soon. And then in this little time period that all these players was out, DeVicente hopped in and he filled in pretty well. He got better as the time went on. So I think, why would we get weaker at 2 spots? I think Wolfgang needs to stay up there, and we just got to make ends meet on the backside.
Yeah, you know, even though Wolfgang played that fullback role against Las Vegas, he still got high up the field, you know, created that goal against Peter Wilson. But like you said, there is a double-edged sword there, right? Because if Wolfgang is pressing up the field knowingly against one of these higher quality teams, you know, Las Vegas, we don't expect to really push, you know, the table here. You know, how can that bite them on the back end? Can a quick turnover in the attacking third turn to a long ball over the top, a la, you know, Tulsa, where Remy Cabral gets in behind, just burns them, and then he has to slide through the back? So, I mean, yeah, a lot of this depends on the bodies available. We're not going to get Garcia for a minute. If you're asking me, I would probably rather run Tingey at that center back spot. Hopefully Bravo can come back soon. Gibson is available now, so you're feeling a little more comfortable on that right side. But yeah, I'm probably running Tingey at center back, trusting DeVicente at his natural left back spot, and then throwing Gibson back on the right. So I think that can, you know, hold Roots over until these signings or loans come in, which Ryan Martin has said they are serious about. You know, I pressed him on that. I said, are things getting serious? He said, well, I'm involved. So we'll see what that looks like.
Who's available?
Well, it's a wide world.
I mean, obviously, there. I have no idea, but like I would expect.
Yeah, we have no idea, but this is the world game. There's got to be someone out there.
Guys who are 23rd or maybe even 28th on an MLS roster.
No, that's a fair point.
That's who could step in. They're qualified to play in America right off the bat and would almost certainly at least be a serviceable player in a position like center back or outside back. I don't know if we would sign anyone from within USL, but like maybe a loan from MLS or buying someone from an MLS academy. You know, like the Justin Rasmussen, Boba C situation, like a guy who's sort of aged out of the academy aspect of the academy team.
Hey, bring back Jay Rass. He's a free agent. There you go.
Your favorite. I was really surprised they let him go last year. Okay. We gotta stop playing Nevil Hackshaw. Okay. So like I went and looked this up. He has been on the field for 50% of the goals that the Roots have conceded this season, and he has played 33% of the minutes that the Roots have played this season. Okay, which is ugly, and it gets uglier when you think about the fact that the only reason he wasn't on the field for another goal that the Roots conceded is because he'd gotten himself an idiotic fucking red card, and so he wasn't on the field when Tulsa equalized. What's funny is that by being off the field for the second half, it was basically the same as if he was on the field, because we concede about once per half that Nevil Hackshaw plays. It's staggering. And the stat that I couldn't easily find is how many goals we've scored when he's on the field, because it's like only listed as like a positive stat. Actually, it may be here on FB Ref, but like we were for weeks, we were bringing him on as defensive depth, at which point our defense would collapse and our offense would stop doing anything. And now we have to play him, and so our defense sucks from minute one. He got fucking roasted five times on the same play against Monterey Bay. And like, to be fair, I think Monterey Bay had a lot of speed. You know, I don't know if it was, it may have just been the camera angle. Admittedly, that gets you sometimes. They looked much faster than a lot of the teams we've played so far. And I can see why you would look at a team that's playing, you know, our midfield was a little slow too. And they would like force turnovers and then just hit it long. But like, Jesus Christ, man, we can't do the offside trap. Like, it just doesn't work with Hackshaw in center back, because every single other player on the field is faster than him. He's literally slower than the 6'3" goalie who doesn't practice running. I can't believe that it is through the grace of God that Monterey didn't score more, because their offense is garbage. But like, I just don't see how, like, I don't see, like, yes, he contributed. He had a great pass on that first goal to Keel. Although that chance is nothing without what Keel does to it. You know, I mean, like, sure, the ball finds it, but Keel does a lot of the work there. And Hackshaw continues to be a pretty good player in the air, which is sort of surprising for being only 6 feet tall, you know, by center back standards. For other people like podcasters, 6 feet is a great height. Many would consider it ideal. But like, he just... If Monterey can figure out, you know, if the, like, I used to call Las Vegas the Brick Tamlin of USL, it is very clearly Monterey Bay right now. If Monterey Bay can figure out how to attack our defense, we have to change something. You know, Kendall McIntosh isn't going to stand on his head every game. And like, that's going to be a 3-1 pounding away to the worst team in the league. I don't see how he can be worse than playing an academy player who can at least run.
I mean, like Peter said, Monterey is the dregs of the league. They're the bottom. They're the cellar dwellers coming into the to match against the Roots, you know, they had 9.42 shots per match. That was their average on Saturday. They bumped that up to 20 shots in the whole game. They had they were averaging two shots on target. They put in five on target. Like Peter said, if McIntosh hadn't been playing, they would have outscored their goal total for the season. They'd only scored three goals all season up to this point. They could have had three or four on Saturday.
Oh yeah. You know,
they had 37 touches in the opposing box as opposed to 16. I was going to ask Peter what he thinks, you know, who played better at center back, McCabe or Hackshaw?
I think we already know the answer to that.
I think McCabe has to start until we can get somebody else. I mean, John's point about putting Tingey in there, fine. But McCabe looked significantly better, and we have more depth at central mid, even as much as I hate to take him out of that role where he's great. We need to be getting a 5 out of 10 from one of our center backs instead of a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, to your you were correct that the statistics for goals that you're on the field for scored and conceded is available on FBref. It's in league play. Hackshaw has been on the field for 2 goals, scored and 4 surrendered on a 90-minute basis while he's on the field. The Roots are 0.85 goals to the bad.
And the Tulsa game, he was on the field, not the Tulsa, the Monterey Bay game, he was on for 1 goal scored and 1 goal conceded.
So. Yeah, but it's not on there because the USL Cup is practically fake. It's sponsored by a tire company no one's ever heard of.
A big issue with Hackshaw is that Hackshaw doesn't fit the team around him. You know, the team has to work around him to hide his flaws, because this last game, the defensive midfielders, El Mesnaoui and McCabe, they had to play so deep. They couldn't get involved in the press. And when they did get involved in the press and they moved up high up the pitch, it left so much space in between them and the defensive line. And Monterey was just attacking that all game. So it's just playing with one hand behind your back because you can't move those center defensive midfielders up. DeVicente had to hold back sometimes. So you're just constantly playing one man down to shield Hackshaw's lack of pace.
I do wonder if we could have, if we really cared about that competition. We cared. We played a bunch of starters.
Oh, I'm sure that the team cared. Obviously, these guys are professionals.
We could have run out Peter Wilson. Yeah. What midfielder did we sit? Bobasi.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we could have played him instead of Elmasnawi. And I think that those two changes, honestly, I think there's every possibility we put the game away before the first half, which isn't to say either of those guys played badly. Jackson Keel obviously scored a goal, but you know, there's a reason those guys are the starters and the other two guys are fighting for time. It's a little frustrating to like do that thing where you sort of half rotate and then you put a lot of minutes into the legs of guys who can't spare it. Like, good Lord, Michael Edwards shouldn't be training right now. He should be icing his legs between games.
Yeah, I mean, that result was a concern. You know, Monterey is not fielding a competitive team this year. You know, it really just showed how that one position, Hackshaw on the field, can lead to all of these chances. And that was a concern. You know, we've all looked at Monterey this season. I've talked about Monterey with a lot of people, and they are severely behind in putting together a competitive roster. And for that result to happen, I mean, that raised some eyebrows. Some alarm bells were ringing there for me. I mean, it really showed that, man, I mean, just how one center back can be exploited. And like you said, Peter, yeah, it was time. It was over and over and over again. That was the game plan, was Elijah Paul run straight at Hackshaw and see what happens. And that's happened in almost every game Hackshaw has been in. You know, we could go back to Orange County. Hackshaw comes on at halftime. Orange County scores 15 seconds later. You know, Tulsa in behind. I wrote about it in the blog. It just keeps happening over and over and over again. I wish that I could have screenshot Peter's face when he went on that rant there, because that would have been the that would have been the cover photo, because it really put it really illustrated the situation there.
I mean, I think we need to be reminded of Roots Blog's number one rule for watching the Oakland Roots, which is it's almost never as bad as it looks. It's also almost never as good as it looks. And I feel like we experienced both halves of that this week, because the reaction to that Las Vegas result was practically euphoric. And to follow it up with that match against Monterey Bay shows, I think, that, you know, thing that the as Peter has put it before, the slide deck is not yet done. The cake is not yet fully baked. Whatever other metaphor. Yeah, you said that before.
I get paid by a corporate marketing department?
I assume so. I don't know. I'm having a hard time being that upset about a 1-1 draw against Monterey. I know it probably didn't look great.
I don't think you're crazy for that. I'm not that upset about a 1-1, especially in the cup, you know, where like you said at the beginning of this, if we don't beat Sacramento, we're out of this competition, because your odds of getting some teams can get through as the second in their group, right? But it's really hard.
One team
out of seven.
Second in their group.
And so yeah, we're sort of in the same position, which is if we beat Sacramento, it's probably us. And if we do anything else to Sacramento, it's probably not us. And I don't, you know, I'll celebrate this, but from, you know, I'd get a lot more excited about this competition if we were already in the knockout stages. At this point, I care a lot more about the league. And all of that is to say, what I'm upset about is the fact that the hole in our lineup is gaping and we're going to lose league games.
Yeah. I mean, you guys know this just on my reaction coming into the week, coming into that game, was I was of the opinion to throw the fucking game away. I wanted to see the kids. And that is like, I get it. You know, it's the first game. You want to get a result to see if you can challenge for this thing, if you look like a group winner, if you look like a wild card winner. But for me, the injury situation is what it is. And that took priority for me over this cup game that, you know, seven teams make it out of seven groups with one wild card winner. It just didn't seem worth it to me. And Florian Vallot comes off at halftime. Don't know the severity of that, but he was hobbled coming off, and it's like, oh great, you know, this is my nightmare. You know, this is what we didn't want to happen. I would have rather had, I'm glad Al Masnaoui got some minutes, you know. I'm really surprised he hasn't played much at all this entire season. For me, this cup is a time to develop those young players, because Ryan Martin clearly prefers the veterans. It's all about the veterans. He wants to win, rightfully so. But we also have to think of the future. You know, Al Masnaoui has to get minutes. People like Rosic have to get minutes. Emilio Martinez, if he has a future on this team, he's got to get some minutes. I would like to see some guys like Palio, he gets some time. You know, some of these younger guys have to get developed if they have a future on this team and in this league. And the injury situation just, it is really, really, really rough. And league is the most important thing, you know. And if we're risking bodies for this cup that really doesn't mean much, you know, it pays $100,000. This team is going to spend way more than that just flying players around throughout this season. This cup just didn't really mean much to me, especially knowing how the injuries were at this point. But, you know, I get it. I get you want to see how things can shake out in game one and then judge going forward. The players obviously are never going to want to give up any game. But yeah, that's where it was for me.
I mean, you mentioned the injuries, and they also dodged the bullet because Gibson banged knees with the Monterey player, and it looked like he might be hurt, and he had just gotten back. Honestly, I had wished that they had just lost the game, so we would just be out of the running They could play the young guys against Sacramento, and the team could try its best to avoid this injury bug that's been plaguing them. Because like you guys said, I care about the league right now. I think the Roots have a solid chance of hosting a playoff game this year. Get the Coliseum rocking. It'll be a good chance if the team stays healthy. And that big if, it's a big if. Like Aaron or Peter said, Michael Edwards should not be training right now. He's played every single minute of the season. So we shouldn't be taxing him any more than the team already is. I know Bravo 2 weeks ago before he got hurt, Martin had mentioned that he was already nursing an injury, but because of the injuries, he was forced to play, and that might have caused that injury as well. So we can't just be risking these things for a cup that, to me, to a lot of supporters, I don't believe it matters.
Well, the nice thing about, everything Roots related, the injury bug has bit hard. The Roots are still in fourth place in the West. They have a solid base to build from, assuming that we can get some bodies back in the coming weeks. And in terms of fatigue, we don't have another week with multiple fixtures like this one until the middle of June. So there is time, I think, for guys to sort of heal up, to work off some of those knocks, and hopefully we're not going to be in a position where we're going to be risking muscle injuries from overwork. You know, we've made the point that, you know, one of the reason that the injury situation can spiral out of control is that you start using guys in unfamiliar positions and you're unable to rest them. And all of a sudden, right now, this whole thing kind of snowballs. And we're definitely at risk for that, but at least we're talking about one game a week for the foreseeable. And that should be a good thing for health for the Oakland Roots. And it might be a little rough, but I think this is probably what is going to be necessary to get through it. A third good thing is that the schedule continues to be forgiving for at least one more weekend. The Roots will travel to Northern Virginia to play Loudoun United this weekend. And the Roots have historically not been great in the Eastern time zone. Loudoun is not great in the Eastern, or really any time zone this season. The one thing they have going for them, I think, is that they might have the stranglehold on members of the league's all-name team. They've got a Pacifique Nyongbir, a Salvatore Mazzaferro, some guy from Iceland whose name is spelled with a character I've never seen before. How to pronounce it.
That's the letter Thorn. Thorn. It's pronounced like a th. It's Thorleifur Ulfarsson.
See, that's what I'm talking about. What a great name. Unfortunately, this does not add up to a team that's very good. They have no wins in the league this year. They did get a win in the Open Cup. They are playing in the Open Cup. Well, they were playing in the Open Cup this year. They did win their first round matchup in the Open Cup against Westchester United, but then they would lose their second round match against Richmond Kickers, the USL League One squad, who then got dunked on, I think, by the Columbus Crew. Doesn't really matter. They Loudoun also lost their initial cup game to Charleston. Put all that to one side, in the league, they have 4 draws and 2 losses. Doesn't really look inspiring. I think this is a great, if again, for the Roots in the situation they're in, you can't ask for a much better opponent. And then, of course, there's potentially the added motivation that we have the Ryan Martin Loudoun United reunion. And I'm sure he's going to want to put his best foot forward. You know, I'm sure he always wants to put his best foot forward with this squad, but I'm sure there's a little extra motivation to do so here. So this is the soccer gods. I mean, they're taking, but they might be giving a little bit here for the Oakland Roots. And that is, I think, reason to be optimistic. You know, this is not an inspiring football team we're about to play this weekend. And the Roots, I'm just going to say, the Roots are an inspiring football team.
That's right.
In terms of the quality of the football they're playing. So maybe it's okay for at least one more week. I mean, the schedule takes a little bit of a turn after this, but we don't have to think about that yet. Right now, we can just focus on Loudon.
I'm curious if Martin breaks out the leather jacket again. I felt like he maybe flew too close to the sun with it against Monterey Bay, and that may have cost us. And he really needs to get back to the wheelhouse of the, like, khaki windbreaker. I think that that's it makes him look like a construction defect expert witness, which is a joke for two people who don't listen to this podcast. But I mean, as you know, I don't want to say that I see too clearly into Martin's psyche, but I feel like demographically he and I are pretty similar. And I just, every time I wear a leather jacket, I regret it too. And I think he needs to switch back.
Important takes on Roots Pod.
Relatedly, the letter thorn is like wasn't used in modern English, and so it was replaced with the letter Y, which is why pubs were called Ye Old Pub, because it was
fascinating.
The old, but rendered with a modern spelling of an old English word. So there you go.
Wow.
That was going to be my prediction. I jumped the gun. I was too excited about that fact.
Well, I understand. I'm pretty excited about that fact too. And I'm glad I know that.
So do you run it? So do you run it back with Hackshaw, or is this a game and experiment because of the competition?
Louis just trucking through.
I think he wants to see what your reaction to that would be.
Oh, I'm genuinely on the edge of my seat right now. I just love all these Peter takes on Hackshaw.
Oh, sorry. What was the question?
Oh, does Hackshaw start?
Yeah.
Is he? Oh, fucking probably.
Yeah.
For my sins.
No, I think you got to put. It's got to be. It's got to be McCabe and Edwards for me.
Yeah. I mean, if there were a match for Neville, it would be this match. I know we said that Loudon sucks in every category, but they are leading the league in set piece goals. And if there were ever a day for Hackshaw to shine, it would be today, that day in the air.
All right. I mean, Peter
isn't convinced though.
I can live with that. If that's the logic, I can live with that. I think that John may be right that it's going to be Tingey. I don't know if John predicted that. He mentioned that Tingey can fill in that role, and I do think that maybe we have better depth there and can move him. But yeah, he's probably starting.
I don't think it's a personal affront if he does, Peter. I think it probably has nothing to do with any of us.
Yeah, but luckily, Bobosi should be back in the lineup, because you guys touched on it when you guys were speaking about Monterey. It's just the defensive midfielders lacked a little bit of pace with Ali and McCabe, and Bobosi being back there will be able to track back and help out Hackshaw whenever the Roots get hit on a counter.
And that would, I would think, also, to my prediction, or my hope, I guess, I would think that would allow you to use McCabe in the back line without sacrificing too much overall team stability. And, you know, to your point, to my point about this not being an inspiring team, maybe this is the league game you can put Ali Elmasnawi out there. We do have depth in central midfield, even if it seems like we're pretty committed to running out Bobosi and McCabe, which makes sense because it's one of the best midfield pairings I've ever seen in this league. If it was me, that's what I would do. I would run McCabe in the back line. I know we have guys coming back, but I really feel like we need to be easing them in.
And that's been the pattern with Martin. When the player returns, he slow rolls them in. We saw with Velo, he brought him in late second half, gave him like 10 minutes the first game. He came back, then subbed them in, and they finally made this start against Monterey. Same with Gibson. Had the chance to play him against Vegas, I think John reported, and Martin said, we didn't want to take that risk. So I think he'll continue kind of slow rolling these players coming back.
So is that your upcoming three questions article? Was the first one whether we roll with Hackshaw in the back line?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, Wilson's scoring, so we can't recycle that one.
We can't recycle that one. All right. Well, have you settled on questions two and three yet?
Not yet. You know, tomorrow John's going to be posting that article I wrote about the Monterey Bay game. Peter will have a good time reading that one because there's a lot of focus on Hackshaw spotlight. Plenty of ammo for his next pod. And then there's a little brief spotlight on El Masnaoui. I know some people on Reddit were saying they were disappointed by his performance, but I believe Ollie had some things that fans can look at and point to as a positive sign. It was his first start. I thought there was plenty of positives to take away from his game.
Yeah. And to get your first start in a game where the team is running out an unusual kind of unbalanced lineup is tough. You know, it's always we know from last season that he's got the talent to hang at this level. And I think you see this a lot at higher levels where there's cup competitions like this. You get fringe players get on the field, but not surrounded by regular members of the starting 11, but rather surrounded by other fringe players. And it doesn't necessarily lend itself to you shining in the way that you might if you were, you know, if he was in midfield next to McCabe and Bobosi with our game one back four behind him. I mean, he'd probably put in a completely different performance. And I don't know. I think fans can get discouraged by performances in those circumstances, and I think that's probably not the right move. All right. So what are we looking for this weekend? When the Roots win, what is the shape of the game? What does it look like? John, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Yeah, I'm curious about that center back spot too. Will it be Hackshaw? Will it be McCabe? Will it be Tingey? I think Luis is probably right there. I think it's going to be a slow roll with Tingey, although I wouldn't mind him there. I see some similarities with Tingey's game and Garcia. Same with McCabe and Garcia. I see some more similarities there than I do with Hackshaw. Obviously. So I think if the back line is what we think it is, I'm going with another record performance by Roots. I'm going 5-2. And if Hackshaw is in, I'm going 5-4.
I mean, that would be exciting to watch. That would be extremely exciting to watch.
Could Hackshaw get the the David Luiz hat trick with the own goal, red card, and goal?
I believe in him.
If anyone on this team can do it, it's him.
I think he's definitely the most likely suspect.
Are you saying he's our David Luiz? He really is when you think about it. Like the glass shattered there now. I'm never going to unsee him, you know, unsee it the same way now.
All right, Peter.
Oh man, I thought I was optimistic. I don't think I can go to 5 goals for the Roots right now. Although I mean 4 against Vegas, but on the road, I don't know, John, seems optimistic.
I mean, if you want to just talk about obsolete characters in
I'm English so much language, more qualified for that.
That's something you could do too, yeah.
I'm going to say 3-1 Roots. And I think I don't think it's going to be another hat trick from Wilson. I think we're going to spread the goals around to some of the other forwards.
All right. Luis, floor is yours.
Peter took my score line. I was thinking 3-1. I don't want to copy him. So I'm going to go even more conservative than that because I don't think they're putting up 6. So I'm going to go 2-0. They'll get a clean sheet. Hackshaw, sterling performance, dominates the air. No set piece goals allowed. And Peter comes in singing a different tune next week.
No, man. If you're that dead on the money, I'm off the podcast. You have to do this now. I'll be free.
I think this one's going to be a bit of a struggle, honestly. Just the amount of travel, it's always tough. The Roots did hold up pretty well in their last visit to the East Coast, and that is cause for optimism, but I think it's rough to suggest that their performances will look as fluid and exciting in the Eastern time zone as they frequently do in the state of California. Plus, Loudoun does typically score multiple goals at home. They scored two against Pittsburgh, two against Birmingham, three against Louisville City. And now Louisville City, that is a shocking statistic without this season's context. Their defense isn't quite as good as it has been in seasons past, but it's still, they're capable of scoring. And I just kind of think the Roots are going to need some time to get going. And also probably will need some time to get used to the different lineup they're going to have to put out there. But I still see something like a 3-2. All right. So this weekend, Loudoun United, this is an away game, and it's in the Eastern time zone, which means this is 2:00 in the afternoon. 2:00. That's, I don't know, for me, that's a lot better. A lot better viewing experience, but it be prepared. We don't have too many games that early in the day. So 2:00, Loud United, keep an eye out for the watch party. And then we'll be back after the Loud United match to talk about that and see what has developed in the various themes of the 2026 root season, whether there's something new to talk about. Maybe there'll be something new. I hope so. So we'll be back then. And of course, until then, up the Roots.